Difficult and interesting experience, but again, I try to find the positive in all things, and I certainly have.
You know, one of the things that impressed me was that, you know, we see on social media all the time that people can just be really vicious. Like, people just say what they think, and sometimes it's not very nice, but the response to your leadership at Russellville was just overwhelmingly positive. You know, Nathan and I went into this, and Nathan's here. If y'all can't see him, he's in the back running the show and keeping us all on track. But you know, when we went into this, we were like, we're gonna try to follow the facts of what happened here. We're gonna try to see what really went on. Knowing, you know, working in politics, that sometimes that takes the shine off somebody you really respect when you dig into what's going on behind the scenes. But for us, at least, as we dug into this, you know, we didn't have that experience. We were still very proud to stand behind you. And I think we saw that with the community, very proud to support you and talk about how much you meant to everybody. And what was that like for you?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, because since this is the first time I've actually been able to talk about it, I was not prepared for the support from the community. I remember sitting in my chair, at times tears flowing down my cheek, and I returned 200 text messages from all across the state from just well-wishers and friends and colleagues I haven't heard from in a long time. And it was... Again, everybody likes a compliment, but that was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so, but I am so grateful to our community and for their support. I understand the challenges of leadership, and I certainly am not angry or bitter at anyone. And but you know, that experience taught me a lot about our community. I mean, I've been a part of this community since 1983. My wife graduated from Russellville. All four of the Gochers graduated from Russellville. I got my first leadership opportunity here in Russellville. So I'm so grateful to this school district and so grateful to this community, because this has been my home. And so to see all of that, to experience all of that through the kind words of our community, was truly a blessing. I'm a very grateful man.
Wow, it was very much deserved, and we've seen that as this has played out. But now this is still going. This isn't over yet. There is still a lawsuit out there to kind of determine what may need to happen as far as settling your contract, any kind of financial payoff that might need to take place. Can you give any kind of update on where the lawsuit is at right now?
Sure. I think I can only repeat what you said. While it is an ongoing legal situation, I really can't give any comment, but it is still ongoing.
Your lawyer probably really appreciate that answer. That's okay. That's good. I get it. Now, we saw on social media this week that there was a motion to compel, which is basically just asking the court to have the school district provide information that had been requested and that hasn't already been turned over. That made a lot of headlines locally. Is there any comment you have on what took place there?
Sure. I saw that on social media as well.
Okay. That's a good answer. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you one more, and you may not be able to give me anything on this. I get it, but I got to ask. So we saw the school board settle lawsuits with two other situations, with the basketball coach and then with a student who had an interaction with a teacher. There were two, you know, fairly large settlements handled by the school board on that. We have not seen anything from the school board on trying to reach a settlement with you. Do you have any comments on that or feedback on that situation?
Not really. I mean, you'd have to refer you back to their legal counsel in response to the other two. And as I said earlier, it's just an ongoing situation. And that's really all I can say at this point.
I think that's fair, but I'll probably keep trying here a little bit. We're gonna come back. We're gonna let folks pick questions, ask live questions throughout the show. So at the end of my questions, we'll do Q&A in the comments. So please drop your questions in the comments. Nathan is monitoring, and he'll be able to talk about that. He's also reminding me again, if you're just tuning in, to thank our sponsors, Retro Roast and David Howell for state representative, brought this episode tonight, and so we're very grateful to them.
Hey, actually, Mark, I do have a question, and yes. Because as someone who, you know, watched this unfold, and as someone who's somewhat of a introvert and a thinker, you know, I sit down and just think all the time, and I like to go over, you know, if I've done something, like done a job or a specific thing for someone, I review, you know, and so I go back and what, and for me, I think, I know you've asked yourself this question, and so I think people deserve, not deserve to hear, but I would love to hear your answer to, if there was anything you could have done differently, what would you have done? What would that be?
That's such a great question. First of all, every good leader should be a reflective practitioner. Mm-hmm. They should always look at their decisions, reflect upon them, make sure was it in the best interest of their business, the best interest of their church, the best interest of their school and for their children. In my case, as a school leader, so yeah, I have asked myself, what could I have done differently? I know one of the first things I would have done differently, and I'll just speak about leadership. It was always my goal to develop a student voice group. Yes, I did listen to students and I interacted with students, but I wanted to really formalize and have a student voice group. I think that was a part of my leadership that I didn't get a lot of voice in, having that really formal conversation with a group of students, whether it was a group of high school students or junior high. And I'm going to do that at Darnell, because I really think, especially post-pandemic, we have a group of Generation Z students and now Generation Alpha, the third grade and below students, we've really got to listen to them. Mm-hmm. If big business listens to customer service, why are we not in the school business listening to our most valued customer?
Yeah, agreed.
I think the second thing that I would have done differently, I would have really worked on building a deeper culture of trust. Trust is very important to me. And I think I would have worked in different ways to build a stronger culture of trust between my board and myself, my leadership team. And I think the third thing that goes along with trust, I feel like I should have communicated more to teachers. I would give, you know, Monday morning emails to my board or leadership emails. We met often. I had a team of trust that spoke into me, and which I valued a great deal. But I think I would have communicated more to our teachers and our classified staff. I think that would have been really important looking back. Now, when the pandemic hit, we were doing videos. I was doing my Friday update, staying late on a Friday afternoon as I got the numbers in and being able to report the numbers going up or down. And so I felt like I did a good job of communicating during the pandemic. But as a normal course of time, I think I could have done a better job of communicating to teachers, because they really needed it during that time, and I think I could have done a better job. So as a reflective practitioner, those are the three things: trust, communication, and student voice. Great question, man.
I think those are great answers. As a husband of a teacher, it's very important to me to hear your concern in those areas, especially during what probably was the hardest 2 years of teachers' lives all across the country. In having to navigate how to teach during the pandemic, because there was no precursor to that.
There was no playbook.
Yeah.
There was not. And what we thought we could do virtual and in-classroom learning, we realized quickly students began to fall off the grid, and teachers were trying their best to connect with them and staying up late at night. And I spoke to some husbands that called me and said, Gosher, do you realize my wife is working till 11 o'clock trying to communicate to these students that are not in school? Nathan, it broke my heart.
Well, and
I saw that in my own wife.
I think everybody at the beginning was, just gung-ho, like, let's give it our all. We're going to do this. It's only going to be for a short amount of time. And as everything progressed, it just became sort of a, how far are we going to take this? Can we really do this, you know, 15, 16-hour day type work where half the job is with students and the other half is on a screen? Even my wife was very much like, this is what I want to do. This is what, we've got to do it this way to help. And I know a lot of teachers were like that. And then it was so much they already do so much. And so I'm thankful that now, because you were very, I mean, we have had teachers here say loved our Friday messages and all those things. And so like that, to me, during the pandemic, definitely you were involved in that. And I'd like to see that you're carrying that through into your next position. So
thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, so let's talk about that a little bit. You know, especially during the pandemic, there's been a lot of people who've experienced losing their jobs. I mean, that's something that's been an unfortunate reality for a lot of folks. But most folks don't have to do it like on a live broadcast where everybody in town can see it and go back and watch it later.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit like how you dealt with that just in the first few days afterwards, like dealing with it, and then also just what you've been up to since then?
Sure. You know, I think the initial response to any, you know, life-altering event like that, I think you go through just initial shock. I equated it to a grieving process. You know, when you lose someone you're really close to, you go through a sense of denial. Did that really happen? You know, you wake up and go, oh my gosh, that really did happen. And you go through that denial. And then you go through a little anger. I didn't really get angry, but I certainly felt some frustration. And you ask the whys, and you ask, you know, to your question, Nathan, gosh, what could I have done differently? And then I decided to get my life insurance and health insurance license. No joke.
Yeah.
There was a time, guys, I thought, I don't know that I could ever go back into public school because it was, I thought, well, I'm retired. I had to retire. And I chose to retire. I had to retire. And I pursued life insurance and health insurance and passed my exams. And I thought, no, I really don't want to sell insurance. And I started volunteering at the Christian school. They lost their principal at the beginning of the year, if you knew that, the beginning of the school year. And they called me and asked me if I would help out. And I said, certainly, I can volunteer a few days a week. And Kristen, when I started volunteering at the Christian school and began to develop relationships with teachers, they just wanted me to come in and oversee their teaching and learning, to go into classrooms, you know, do duty, whatever they needed me to do. And the love for teaching and learning began to rise in me. When I wrote my professional mission statement about three years ago, it was all about, I'm a people over program superintendent. I'm a superintendent that wants to support my district mission and vision and develop leadership in others. And then I realized the why of who Mark Gocher is not defined as a superintendent, although I love being a superintendent. It's not defined by being a teacher. I love being a teacher. The why of who I am and what I do every day, whether I'm volunteering at the Christian school or beginning a new job at Darnell, it's about serving others. I am a leader that places people over programs, that wants to grow as a leader, but my greatest joy, Kristen, is developing leadership in others. Great leaders grow leaders, and leadership's about serving others. And when I rewrote my mission statement and rediscovered the why of who I am, and that changed me. And it made me want to be back into the public schools again, or the Christian school, into the schools again. Mm-hmm. And then in January, I started working at Hector School District, the place where I first took my first teaching job. And so I've been serving there one day a week, and again, helping the new teachers, overseeing their teaching and learning. And then lo and behold, Darnell asked if I would be interested in applying. And my initial response was, let me think about it. And because I had to wait, when you retire, you have to wait 6 months if you're not of age before you can go back into public school. So I had to wait till January 1. And so I had a conversation with a couple of board members. I and Mr. Young, the interim superintendent, I agreed to go ahead and dive right in. And I was taught a long time ago, if you go into an interview at that level, and if you go that far, you've got to be willing to say yes. You don't go that far and pull out and then affect the school board or affect the whole community. And when I went into that interview, I experienced one of the most peaceful interviews of my career. I connected with the community. I taught there in 91, 92, by the way. I was the high school choir director there back in the early 90s. And some remembered me. Yeah, it was kind of strange because they're a lot older now.
Aren't we all?
And so on that Friday night that they called and asked me to be their superintendent, I couldn't answer because I got emotional, had to take a deep swallow, and then I accepted. So I'm looking forward to beginning July 1. And so it is rewarding. It really has changed me as a leader. I will be a stronger leader. I will be a different leader, but I will be a better leader for the sake of kids.
Well, I was incredibly excited to hear that you were coming to Dardanelle because that's where my kids go to school. I don't know if you know
really?
That.
Really? Your yes. kids? I thought they were here.
No, they're at Dardanelle. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have you.
So you're
going to
be calling me all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what world you stepped in, Mark.
So much worse. The school board and
right, yeah. But it's so much worse for you. No, we're really excited. Now, I also heard a rumor that you may have been writing a book.
Oh, yes. Years ago, I had a passion for writing a book about leadership. And then my cousin, Dr. Tim Carter at Arkansas Tech at the College of Education, wrote a book called The 4G Learning Community. And it really taught me that leaders have got to know the generations within their organization. So I read that book. It really got me inspired to really learn more about generations. And through the years, I began to do presentations and some of the work that Dr. Carter had written about. Dr. Timothy Elmore, Neil Howe, contributing author to wonderful newspapers and author himself in Generations. A new author, Mark McCrindle, are a new name to me out of Australia. All of these have been powerful influences. So I'm writing a book. Right now the working title is called Generational Leadership, Connecting Leaders to the People They Serve. And it's a book that is a handbook for educational leaders, specifically for superintendents and principals, how to communicate differently, how to deal with the mental health challenges of this generation. And so I'm excited. I've hired an editorial to help me with the process. I'm a part of a book club of other aspiring authors. And that was one of the things that I was real tempted to not be a superintendent because I was having so much fun writing the book. But then I realized I can do both.
Right.
There's no timetable on writing a book. And so I'm going to submit it to a couple of publishers, hopefully by summer. And we'll see if they'll pick it up. And it's been something I've been wanting to do, and I've had a little time to do it.
So that will, yeah, a little time to do it unexpectedly. The when you're a big time best-selling author,
no way.
I'm gonna be like, he started here. He started here with us.
Started from the bottom.
Now he's here. Exactly. So
that's funny.
So I have one more question for you. Last week I talked about this. We don't really endorse candidates on this show, but there could be times that I would make an exception for that. So I said last week that I expect on this show to hear that either you or Nathan George are running for mayor. So where are we landing with this?
Yeah, I'm going to have to move into the Russellville city limits, but when I do, Chris,
listen, that rule's been kind of flexible in recent years
yeah.
with some positions, so I don't know. What about the, there are elections coming up, and we saw people filing for school board, that we have, you know, like we said, David Howe for state rep is sponsoring this show, and I saw some great pictures of you introducing him at an event.
Yes.
Are there any races or any other candidates that you are excited about or know well or have any feedback on?
Sure. I saw that Georgia Ann Peel Rollins mm-hmm. was running for school board, and I was interested in that, and Georgia Ann and I were both principals at Crawford Elementary. In fact, Georgia Ann was actually at the panel interview when I was first hired in Russellville in, I guess, 94, 93. And so I've had a long friendship with her, and she's one of my educational heroes. And so I'm very interested in her candidacy.
It's always exciting to have an educator running for school yeah. board, because they bring such a value, like, perspective that we don't always get. You know, I mean, it's good to have a mix of different perspectives on the board, but I'm excited to see that Georgiana is running yeah. also. And then, so you're not running for mayor, you're not running for governor. Like, I really had high hopes here that we would get to this. I can't get Nathan either. Like, you guys are just killing me. So, okay, well, any other races that you want to touch on?
Sure. I'd like to just recognize my friend and my pastor of my church, David Howe, and he's a wonderful friend. I've known David for many years. He's been our campus pastor at City Church, and we've had many conversations about public education in general, and, man, I've got a lot of hope for him. He's a fantastic candidate, fantastic friend. And so I look forward to seeing him successful in the race ahead.
Yeah, that's going to be, that race has a lot going on. We have a lot coming mm-hmm. up in May in that primary election. There'll be a lot of seats that are decided right then. So I think that's all the questions I have. Nathan, are you ready to pull some questions out of the comments?
We have a couple of questions. There were several just like, we're excited for you at Dardanelle. Thank several you. That were like, yeah, we're going to miss him at Russellville. And so just know that there were quite a few comments in that.
Thank you.
And one question, were you prevented from volunteering at the Russellville School District concession stand?
Oh, I heard that
one. Awkward. yes. David Howlett asked me to volunteer at the concession stand at a ball game, and I didn't end up volunteering after all. So, and I understand, and I think it was someone felt it best for me not to volunteer under the circumstances, and I completely respect that. But yes, that did happen.
There is the tea.
There's the tea. They said they couldn't. Somebody said they can't hear Nathan very well online.
It's okay.
So the question he had asked was if you had been prevented from volunteering at the concession stand at the school. So you answered that already. Are there any other questions?
That's it. That was the. I mean, everybody loves you, so it was mostly.
Everybody's just saying how great you are.
Yeah, how great you are. Yeah.
If you have any other questions, go ahead and drop them in the chat. It will be. We'll be glad to ask Dr. Gocher here. He's been a good sport about taking our questions and has been willing to take questions on, you know, live online, which is nice because not everybody's real open to the kind of live Q&A that can be awkward. You might just get asked about some tea that's getting spread around town. So
I would like to say, just since I've got the microphone, I'm excited about being a sand lizard again.
Yeah.
Very grateful to the Dardanelle School Board and the Dardanelle community. I had a community meeting today, and I'm going over occasionally and just being a part of conversations, and how welcome they are making me is just a real blessing. So mm-hmm. I'm very honored. So it's going to be an interesting journey, and I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, Dardanelle's my wife's alma mater.
That's right.
So she's excited for the folks there that are working there that she knows to have you as the superintendent. And I know there's just a ton of people from that community that are just pumped to have you.
Thank you so much.
I saw another question. Can you still do a push-up and clap your hands?
I can.
Okay,
but not
really. We're not going to do it right now.
You're going to have to post a live video
of you doing that. Yeah. For later.
Now, that would be a Center Valley student. Yeah. Because my old guitar, Bessie, I would sit Bessie on the chalk tray. And when you would let go, she would hit the strings would hit the chalk tray and they'd bounce up and down. And the kids thought it was so funny. And I'd say, what? Bessie's just doing push-ups. You know, that's what I call it. And then I guess when I was, you know, had a dry moment in the music class, the kids wanted to see me do push-ups, and I used to be able, and I can still do it, but not as efficiently, push up and clap. And anyway, yeah, maybe you can get a video.
We're gonna try to get video proof of this.
That was from a former student.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We had fun in music class.
That's fantastic. I love it. Let's see. Are there any other questions in here? Somebody said their kid walked in the room and said, "Yo, is that Dr. G?"
Oh, they heard my voice or yes. something?
Well, thank you so much for joining. I want to give one last shout out to our sponsors, Retro Roast and David Howell, First State Rep. We appreciate them supporting this. Next week, we're going to be back to talk about the battle of the ballot question committees going on between the pro-casino and the anti-casino side. Not going to ask Dr. Gozer any casino questions because we'll spare him that trauma. But we really appreciate you. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up tonight?
No, and I want to thank both of you for extending this invitation. I know when you had invited me earlier, the timing just wasn't right. And so I think the purpose for me being here, a chance to share what's happening in Dardanelle and the future for my life. And I think things are going in the right direction. And just thank you both for what you do. Our community needs your voice. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So
yeah. Thank you. All right.
All right. We will be back next week. Make sure you share this with your friends and tell everybody to keep an eye after what is happening with Dr. Gopher heading over to Dardanelle.